Exciting, guys. Now then, we've got about an hour sermon left, so let's... Now, I tell you what, I'm not going to just completely do away, but I am going to just to hit some main points here as we are going to finish up today our study in Daniel. So if you want to turn to Daniel, we're actually going to backtrack a little bit to chapter 3. Tonight, don't forget our business meeting. As Joel was saying, we're going to have a report from the business, from our building team. So if you want to hear what's going on in our, as we look at that land and possibly getting started on building something on the land, that's tonight. Our blessing team is going to come with some more recommendations of who we can bless, and we'll get to hear more testimonies like we did today. We've got our deacons are going to have a motion about bylaw changes, so you might want to come if you're interested in the bylaws of the church. And we're also going to have a motion on maybe some signage that our Grace Christian Academy wants to put up. So things like that. If you want to be involved in those things, be sure to be here tonight. But as we enter into Daniel chapter 3, we've been talking about what does it mean to stand up under pressure. And I'm backtracking to chapter 3 because we've looked at the life of Daniel, and we looked at him as a teenager. We've looked at him kind of as a middle-aged guy, and then we looked at him when he was in his 80s. So now I want to just real quick go back and look at a story in Daniel that's not about Daniel, but it's one that we all know, and it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. Now, what I really want to get to today is I want to get to verses 16 and 17. 16 and 17. And that's kind of going to be the verses that we really just quickly look at as we talk about how to stand up under pressure as you're heading towards the fire. As you see something in your life, something on the horizon that's coming at you, what should you focus on as you're heading into the fire? Just to give you a really brief background, what we have here are these three teenage boys. They've been brought into Babylon, and from that very first where they were with Daniel as they were trying to say, give us the better food, and as King Nebuchadnezzar saw what quality guys they were, he had kind of lifted them up in the government of Babylon, and they had these special high positions. And in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had this weird dream where he saw this big, huge statue and it had a golden head. But then as the statue progressed down, that golden head turned into silver and then to bronze and then to just metal mixed with clay. And that whole dream was about the fact that Nebuchadnezzar, who was the golden head, was not going to be the ruler of Babylon for a long time. Well, as we enter to chapter 3, a lot of scholars think because of that dream, Nebuchadnezzar said, well, I'm going to do something that will show that I am going to be king forever. I'm going to be a god forever. And so he decides to build this huge statue. Now, a lot of times we think it's a statue of himself. Scripture actually doesn't say that it's a statue of himself, but it does say that this thing was completely made had this look of gold. Now, back in those days, they might do something like we do today where you build something and then overlay it with gold. But whatever it was, everything that you could see was gold. In fact, in chapter 3, verse 1 says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurer, the judges, the magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image. So he said, I built this giant statue. This is going to show who I am. And he says, now I want all these people to come. And so as the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, they stood before it. And then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn and the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing fire. And so we've heard this story a bunch. The three guys, of course, are Israelite. That's the way they were born. They have been in the kingdom of Babylon probably for quite a few years now and have continued worshiping God. And so when this comes up, they have an issue, right? Their issue is the king just commanded that everybody has to fall down and worship this big, huge statue, and they're not going to do it. And there wasn't any gray area. It was either you worship it or you'll be thrown into the fire. Now, that's some pressure right there. That's some pressure on some young people. That's some pressure that we can kind of feel sometimes in our lives, that when things are right in front of us and we've got a decision to make, and are we going to make the right decision? So as the music played and everybody else bowed down, of course the three guys didn't. It says that some people brought it to the king's attention that they did not bow down. So in verse 13, it says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true? He really liked these guys. You know, he had brought them up from where they were as just Babylonian captives to actually rulers in his area. And he's basically saying, guys, I can't believe you're doing this. He said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of God of gold that I have set up? And then verse 15, it's really kind of interesting. He said, now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. So the king basically just says, okay, I'm going to give you a second chance. He said, yeah, I brought you in front of me. Okay, you've done what you've done. You've kind of showed everybody that you've stood up for your God, but now we're going to get serious, guys. Now we're going to get serious. I'm going to give you a second chance to do this. Now, that's a pretty big deal. That actually showed how much the king liked those three guys, because normally if you did not do what the king said, you didn't get a second chance. You immediately were punished. You would see it all through scripture where someone does something the king says don't do, and immediately that punishment is coming forward. But today the king said, I'm going to give you one more chance. He said, but if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And now we come to these two verses that I think that we can glean a lot from as we look at how do we apply in our life what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. It said in verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, the rest of the story, of course, is that he said, well, okay, be that way, turned up the fire, threw the guys in. And y'all know that story. The king looks in there and it says, I thought we just threw three guys in, but there's a fourth one in there. And it's where God had come and protected the three young men for their choice. But I want us to just stop in these two verses and see what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did as they were facing fire in their life. And as you face fire in your life, when you face hard times in your life, maybe these three applications are something that you can put into effect. The first thing that I see is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego focused on putting their issue in its place. They said, first off, let's make sure that this issue we're facing, let me make sure that what I am dealing with is in the correct place in my life. And so they said in verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Here's basically what they were saying. They were saying, this is a big issue. This is a big issue that I'm fixing to get thrown into a furnace. This is a big issue that, you know, we've got to stand up for something that we believe in, but we want to make sure that in our mind that we have it in the correct order, and that correct order is God first and then my issue. God first and then my issue. Yeah, I think if we did that with our issues a lot of times, if we would just say that, you know, so I'm sure that, you know, we all kind of say, well, of course we believe God first, and then whatever issue we're facing in our life is how we should look at it. But so many times what we do is we put our issue first, and then we come to God and say, God, what can you do about our issue? Right? God, how can you handle our issue? You know, it seems like it's just semantics, but really what we're saying is the issue is the most important thing, and a tool that I have to deal with this most important thing is God. That's the wrong order. God's got to come first. Really, we need to go to our issues and say, hey, issue, I see what you're saying, but what are you going to do about my God? You've got an issue here, issue. You know, you might be in your workplace, there might be issues that you're having to deal with. In your marriage, there may be issues you're having to deal with. In your health, there may be issues that you have to deal with. And you need to speak out. Listen, this issue is large in my life, but I want to say, I don't have to defend anything to you, Mr. Issue. You've got to figure out what you're going to do about God. Because my God is bigger than you. My God can take care of whatever it is that you're bringing against me. And listen, it doesn't mean your issue is going to go away. This is simply perspective. When we get the right perspective, the issue is still just as big as it is. Those boys are still fixing to go into some fire. But before they walk into that fire, they just want to get their mind straight. And they want to say, here's the place you are, fire. God, then you. And now I can handle fire. But when it's fire, then God, then I'm just struggling. I'm going, can God do this? Can he not do it? What can I use to get through this? Listen, here's what I put. God is above the king. God is above the king. And even though God is above, here's what the king's going to do. He's going to start screaming, right? He's screaming, how can you not worship? How can you not fall down? Don't you understand the consequences of what you're doing? How many times in our life do our issues scream at us? Don't you understand if you do this, what the consequences are going to be? Don't you understand what's going to happen if you don't do what I'm asking you to do? The world screams at us, just like the king was screaming at those boys. But those boys looked at the king right in the... I wish I was there. Can you see these kind of 20-year-old boy just looking at this king and going, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, you have several of them, they'll start it like that. Several of the translations, it'll say, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar. It's almost, I get that picture. If y'all remember that cereal commercial where the rabbit kept on trying to steal the kids' tricks? And at the end, you know, the kids come up to the rabbit and go, oh, rabbit, kicks are for treads, you know. And it's almost like those teenage boys are looking at their king and saying, I know what you're saying to me, king. I know what you're saying about the fire. I know what you're saying about what you want me to do, but oh, king, don't you know there's a God? Don't you know that no matter what you do, my God is number one in my life? Listen, when you're facing any issue out there, get that perspective. Perspective changes everything. I wrote down here Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 is that great verse where Paul says that in 6:12, let me read it to you. It says this. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Paul just announces it. He just says, listen, I know there's stuff going on here in the world, but I want you to make sure that we understand that there is a spiritual realm that is far more important. And listen, once he got that perspective, if you read down farther in that verse, then he says in 14, now pray for me whenever I speak words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You see, he wasn't saying, hey, pray for me and all this stuff's going to go away. You know, pray for me and I'm not going to be in chains anymore. Pray for me and people aren't going to be trying to attack me and kill me. He's not saying that. He said, get it in order first. Realize that here's your battle. Your battle's on a spiritual realm. And then once you get that idea, now you can implement that into whatever you're battling, the chains, the people trying to hurt you. That's all I'm saying today is you look into whatever situation, if it's a health, if it's cancer, if it's losing your job, if it's a family struggle, if your marriage is in trouble, instead of focusing in on that thing and elevating it, what you need to do is to start by elevating God and then apply that into the situation. You know, the next thing that we see in these two little verses says, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. The thing that really jumped out to me was that word we. That word we. You know, I love that we get this picture of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because we've been studying Daniel. Daniel's been kind of solo. But right within here, I just love how those three guys stood together. They stood together. They said, we're going to be in front of the king together. We're going to go into the fire together. We are going to live this Christian life together. There's something about togetherness in our faith. I think that's what we saw this morning as Waller Pregnancy Center shared about how many times they get to share Christ. But if they didn't have the funding, all those opportunities wouldn't be there. It's that together that makes that happen. As we think about those kids that are off the street, that have a place to live now, but if we weren't part of that together, then that couldn't happen. This beautiful thought of God can do more as we come together, as we do something. Listen, in your issues, do you have we around you? In whatever you're facing, are you getting some other people to walk through it with you? Find somebody to stand with you. Here's what we do a lot of times. When something comes at us, when something hard, when we're facing some kind of trouble, sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Sometimes it's just what happens. A lot of times this is what people will do. Instead of running and finding some we to help get through it, do you ever say to yourself when you're in trouble, man, I got myself into this. I just need to get myself out. Right? I don't need any help. Do you ever find when you're in trouble that you try to isolate or you try to hide? Do you ever find when you're in trouble that you kind of go, man, I got pride here. I don't want people to know that I'm weak or that I failed. Those are all lies of Satan. Listen, as a Christian, when we get in trouble, we need other believers around us. Philippians 4:13, you'll see it on cups, you'll see it on t-shirts, you've probably got it hanging in your house somewhere. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. But I always tell people, keep on reading, because Philippians 4:14 says, yet I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. That's Paul said, I can do it all. He said, I can take care of it all. Yet, that word yet in the Greek, it means to unfold what he just said. He said, I can do all things through God who gives me strength, but let me unfold that. Here's how God gives me strength. He gives me strength through people caring about what problems I'm in. Do you have someone that you're coming along? It's part of who I am. When we watch TV, sometimes I just see some of those images real quick. Maybe you've seen some of these images right now where you just say, yes, there's something right about that. We were watching Chicago Fire. Hey, listen, I don't recommend it. I mean, that thing has some things in there that aren't really godly. But I was watching it one night, and there was this scene where this one lady, she was a paramedic, and she had this weird relationship with this doctor, and this doctor was coming at her. And just to kind of give you the picture of it, they're leaving the hospital, and this doctor is just really really reprimanding this woman and reprimanding this woman and reprimanding this woman, and he's a bad guy, and she's been this whole show just been telling everybody, I can take care of this myself. I can take care of this myself. I can take care of this myself. But as that's going down, her friend sees it's going down, and so she calls the fire department. And as they go out the front of the hospital, and this doctor is just really just giving this paramedic, you know, just this horrible lashing out of speech, all of a sudden, here comes the fire truck. And here comes the chief of the firehouse, and they both pull up and slam on the brakes, and all of a sudden you see these 15 big old firefighters get out, and this huge fire chief come out, and he comes up to the doctor and he said, listen, if you've got a problem with our paramedics, you've got a problem with all of us. And you just kind of go, that feels right. That feels right. Listen, as a Christian, that's why it feels right. God put that in. When you have an issue, you're not supposed to face it alone. When someone messes with one of you, they mess with all of us, right? And we're there to support and lift up. Don't isolate. Don't just go off in a hole by yourself. Last point. When we're looking at these lines of scriptures, it says, if we were thrown into the blazing furnace, he said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So the last point is this, is simply, when you are walking into the fire, make sure you got it in the right order. Make sure you got some people around you supporting it. But the last thing I want you to do is to focus on the character of God. As you're walking into whatever fire you're battling, focus on the character. Here's two things these guys pointed out. One, God is able. God is able. God's able. Whatever you are facing, God is able. And once Satan starts getting in your mind and make you think God isn't able, you've lost the fight. You have to get there first and just say, God is able. But number two thing that they focused on is that God's will is good. God's will is good. They said, you know, God is able to beat you, king. But if God's will is that we die in that furnace, it doesn't change a single thing. Because God's will is good. And we've seen that in our life so many times. We want something real bad, and we know God can give it to us, and then he does it. But within that process of God not giving us what we want, God sharpens us, and God matures us, and God brings us through the other side of that with people helping us to where we're stronger than we were before. And we have to sometimes stand on that before it happens and say, God is able. I'm not going to stop saying that. I'm going to pray for God to heal cancer every time. And I'm going to believe God is able to heal it every time. But I'm also going to pray and say, God's will is good. God's will is good. And if this doesn't end like I want it to, it doesn't affect my thought of God whatsoever. In fact, I'm just going to watch and see how God's will is good. Listen, those three things, as you're facing any fire in your life, put it in priority. Make sure that you have it under God. Make sure you gather some people around you. And then focus on those two parts of God, that God is so strong and so powerful. And God is good. A good, good Father, right? Even when it doesn't feel like it. You can get through any fiery furnace when you have those three things in place. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you this morning just for your love. And God, as we just go into a time of reflection. God, I know we've talked about this for the last 5 weeks. God, there's people in this room that are going through so many different struggles and pains. God, this world sometimes is screaming at us that what we believe doesn't matter. God, I just ask right now through your word, through these stories, God, that you would strengthen us to stand when we need to stand. God, that you would strengthen us to suffer when we have to suffer. And that, God, that you will always bring us back to worshiping and praising your name. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I'm going to be down front today. If there's anything God's laid on your heart, you need somebody to pray for you, you just need to know, how do I get through what I'm going through, I'm going to be right down here out in front.